Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
A favor, raise your microphone and let's listen for a second.
Freedom is contagious.
This is what freedom looks like, what it sounds like.
This is like the Berlin Wall coming down.
What we're seeing here now is what we saw in the eastern part of Europe. They ripped down the Iron Curtain.
A giant party going on out here. Fireworks. We've got everything out here.
It feels like this country is about just got married.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael Savage is off tonight. Michael, I just want to thank you so much, my friend, from the bottom of my heart for this incredible opportunity to fill in for you again tonight. I can't tell you how honored I am, Michael, whenever I fill in for you. But tonight of all nights, when we are now seeing history unfold before our very eyes, I am frankly doubly grateful to you, Michael, and to all of you out there in the Savage Nation. All of you, go to michaelsavage.com. You have to now. We are living through momentous times, life-changing, historical times for the absolute latest must-read stories. The lead story on michaelsavage.com, it's all you need to know. President Mubarak resigns, hands control to military. Today, on the 32nd anniversary of the fall of the Shah in Iran, when another leftist president in the White House, then Jimmy Carter, betrayed a pro-American ally and left him hanging in the wind. And 6 months later, while the liberals in the press were going on about the glorious revolution in the streets of Tehran, Islamist butchers came to power. Radical Muslim fundamentalists who seek to erect a global caliphate, who have been at war with America and with the West for the last three decades. And now, almost to a T, almost as if you are repeating history, but only 32 years later, different country, different capital, same players. The liberal hacks in the mainstream media, led by CNN, MS Left BC, and the New York Times, you heard some of it just on the montage, are now hailing this as if it is another repeat of the fall of the Berlin Wall. Obama as the great liberator. Obama as the second liberal Reagan. If you've noticed, my friends, over the past 6 to 9 months, as Obama's presidency slowly dwindles and collapses in front of our very eyes, as his popularity plummets, as he gets shellacked in the midterm elections, as he loses independents, conservatives, and even many moderate mainstream Americans, as he loses the American heartland. What has the media been trying to do? What has been the narrative coming from the Obama White House, echoed by every hack in the press? Obama as Reagan. Obama as the new Reagan. And so now, in the face of this incredible foreign policy disaster for the United States, with our staunchest Arab ally in the region, now having fled from office, he is now hiding out in the Red Sea resort in Sharm el-Sheikh, probably on his way to exile in Saudi Arabia, as Mubarak is holed up in a resort. What is it now that the media is claiming? A new birth of democracy. People power in action. Change, but not only from America, but now erupting in the streets of Egypt. Liberal democracy sprouting everywhere in front of us. All inspired by the dear leader in the White House, Barack Hussein Obama. It is now 1989 all over again. And except, although Reagan and then later Bush helped to liberate hundreds of millions of people from communist occupation and oppression, now it is Obama freeing 80 million Egyptians from Arab autocracy and Arab dictatorship. My friends, don't buy it. It is now the greatest spin and the greatest lie maybe ever peddled in U.S. history, and I don't say this lightly. Because what we are now seeing is nothing less than a disaster for the region, for Egypt, for the West, for Europe, and most especially for America. Because as Hosni Mubarak has now stepped down, as he has been driven out of office by the military, who do you think is going to win the elections that are set in September, that the military has said they're going to hold? It's not going to be liberal Democrats. It's not going to be secular progressives. It is going to be the Muslim Brotherhood. They are the most organized, disciplined, and efficient political force in Egypt. They command the loyalty of at least a third to half of the population. And just as we saw in Iran 32 years ago, it is almost eerily parallel, eerily similar. You had a weak figurehead, a supposed moderate in power, who will preside over some unstable, incompetent regime for 4, 5, 6 months. It will lurch from crisis to crisis. And then the Ayatollahs, the mullahs, will be sharpening their knives and getting ready to cede and come to power. And that is what is going to happen. El Baradei, the supposed Nobel Peace Laureate, who hates the United States, hates Israel, hates the West, who has spent his life gorging at cocktail parties and lobster lunches at the UN in Vienna and in New York, is no match for these Islamist butchers. They are going to make mincemeat out of him. They're using him as a Trojan horse to get into power. And once the Muslim Brotherhood comes into power, everything will change in the Middle East. This is not even Iran. This, my friends, is Egypt. I'll never forget what a very close Arab friend of mine once said to me. I asked him, I said, you know, how do Arabs look at the Middle East? Is there a country that people look to as a sort of cultural, moral, historical, civilizational model? Is there an America in the Middle East? Is there a Britain or Germany in the Middle East? Is there a Japan in the Middle East? He said, yes. He said, Jeff, it is Egypt. It is the land of the pharaohs. It is the land that has been the greatest trendsetter for all Arab peoples and cultures. It was Egypt that introduced radio, literature, art, cinema, mass politics, industrialization, nationalism into the Middle East. As Egypt goes, so goes the Arab world and the Middle East with it. And so if Egypt should go fundamentalist, if it should go Islamic, as it now looks obvious that it will send shockwaves across the entire region and the world. It will be nothing short but a disaster. Because then Syria will follow, Lebanon will follow, Saudi Arabia will follow, every single Arab country will follow the model of Egypt. And that is why today, on the 32nd anniversary of the fall of the Shah and the beginning of the Islamic Revolution in Iran, who holds a major speech? Who, when all these liberals in the media, the Anderson Coopers, the Brian Williams, all of them, the Chris Matthews, softball on softball, All of them now coming out praising this great liberal revolution. Oh, how brilliant Obama was to literally pull the rug out from Mubarak and stab him in the back. Who is there? Gloating, laughing, mocking, cheering every step of the way. It is the fascist dictator of Iran. Mahmoud, I am a nut job. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who today, holding out a speech, holds up a placard saying death to Israel. And as he announced to the world, Egypt will now fall to the Muslim Brotherhood. And now there is going to be a new Middle East, a radical Islamic Middle East, a Middle East where Israel will be wiped off the earth and America will be finished. As the crowds cheer in Tahrir Square in Cairo, as they cheer in Alexandria, as they cheer in cities across Egypt, those are not cheers of freedom and liberation. Those are the cheers of the Muslim Brotherhood and radical Islamists who now want to drive America and Israel and the West not only out of their country, but out of the entire region and out of all of Europe. This, my friends, is now maybe the greatest foreign policy disaster in our lifetime. And rather than being worried, rather than saying, my God, we are staring at another Iran, a Muslim Brotherhood that not only will impose a fundamentalist state, but in fact has openly said we seek nuclear weapons just as Iran seeks nuclear weapons. A potential war with Israel now looms, a disaster for the entire region. What does the dear leader in the White House, the con man in chief, say? No. This is freedom's second spring. This is now the yearning of the Arab masses to be free. He is cheering them on. He is cheering the Muslim Brotherhood on. My friends, Jimmy Carter betrayed the people of Iran and our strongest ally because he was naive, because he was incompetent. Obama is not naive. He's not even that incompetent. He is cheering them on because he wants the Muslim Brotherhood to come to power. He is a traitor, and he has now openly allied himself with the enemies of America. And so the question I have for you is this. Why is the mainstream media cheering on the Muslim Brotherhood in Cairo and in Egypt? Is the fall of Hosni Mubarak the beginning of a new radical Islamic resurgence in Egypt and the Middle East? 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is what freedom looks like, what it sounds like. Just listen to the square. People are overjoyed. There are flags flying. There are people dancing literally in the streets. And down this road, there are people pouring into Tahrir Square, Liberation Square. This is the moment so many people in this country have dreamed of.
This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Well, there you heard it, my friends. The liberal media, MSNBC, CNN, frankly, even Fox. Everybody is now jumping on this liberal democratic revolution bandwagon. Hosni Mubarak has fallen in Egypt. His regime has been swept into the dustbin of history. And the question in front of the Savage Nation is this. Will this lead to another Iran? Will Egypt now go Islamic and fundamentalist? And why do you think the liberal media is cheering on what is obviously going to be a major victory for the Muslim Brotherhood? 1-800-449-8255. Tony in Florida on line 3. Thanks for holding and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Jeff, thank you very much. You remember in 1960 when Castro took over Cuba? The vermin in the media were all over him like that, like a cheap suit, like he was the second coming. And what did we get? We got a sadistic Stalinist pig who runs a prison in Cuba called the Isle of Pines. Not since Auschwitz has there been a hellhole like that place.
Tony, listen, you're completely right, and I want to thank you for that call. This is, to me, what is remarkable. If you look at the leftist media in this country, they cheered on Fidel when he seized power in Cuba, yet they don't want to tell you how he turned that country into an island prison, an anti-American island prison, peddling revolution against the United States all over Latin America. No, 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 no. He was Fidel the peasant reformer. He was Fidel the champion of the underclass, not Fidel the mass murderer. When the Shah fell, this is exactly what CBS, NBC, ABC, The New York Times all did in 1979. They don't want you to know that now. No, this was a great victory for democracy. What a genius Jimmy Carter was, standing with the people in the streets of Tehran. And what did we get? A regime even more brutal, even more murderous than the Shah. A regime that stones homosexuals and adulterers. A regime that literally enslaves women. A regime that is now sponsoring terrorism against the United States all over the world. As we speak, they are arming suicide bombers in Afghanistan and Iraq to kill our soldiers. They are now on the verge of acquiring a nuclear bomb to annihilate the Jews and Israel. This is what Jimmy Carter left us. This is the same thing that they were cheering then that they're cheering today. And so I have to ask all of you, is this naivete on the part of Obama? Is he just incompetent and stupid like Jimmy Carter? Or is there a pattern here? Is there now a president who seems to always egg on and embolden the forces of radical Islam? Have you noticed, under his watch, America and Israel are always getting the short end of the stick? We are going to be right back after this break. But before I let you go, we are going to be coming back with an incredible must-listen-to exchange between Dr. Savage and a caller. You have to listen to this. You want to see how Dr. Savage has been on the cutting edge of this issue? Stay tuned. We'll have this and so much more. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Members of the Savage Nation, what the mainstream media is not telling you are the puppeteers who have been pulling the strings of Obama and this entire fiasco in Egypt, the likes of George Soros, major globalist socialist financiers. But Dr. Savage has been on top of this story. And I want all of you to listen to this 6-7 minute exchange, fascinating exchange, between Dr. Savage and a caller here on the Savage Nation. My friends, you are not going to hear this anywhere else but right here on the Savage Nation with the great Dr. Savage. Boys, roll it.
Sacramento, Ramon, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I believe President Obama's agenda is purely nefarious. He has been conspiring with the Muslim Brotherhood to undermine the Mubarak government. He continues to do so today. His intentions are to divest the United States of any of its current allies that he deems to be allied to the American right. As such, him being a crypto socialist, his agenda is to make the world safe for socialism. He is not an incompetent buffoon when you consider that he has moved that agenda quite a bit of late. And any other interpretation is grossly naive. He is for
anyone. I think
anyone.
That you're very careful in what you just said. It's a very carefully constructed paragraph that you just expressed on the Savage Nation. I especially like your phrase crypto-socialist. I enjoy that very much. I would like to believe you're correct, but a part of me tells me that the entire administration can't be crypto. Well, wait a minute. Let me go back to what you just said. You said that they're against any alliance that strengthens the American right. and they'll take it down no matter what the cost. They'll burn a nation to the ground in order to destroy an alliance between America's right wing and that nation. Is that what you're alleging?
Absolutely. He wants a power vacuum in Egypt because he knows that the vacuum will defer to the Muslim Brotherhood.
And how does America gain if the Muslim Brotherhood accedes to power?
Left gains. They don't care. The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
So the left gains. All they care about is making the world safe for socialism.
Correct. That's his only intent.
Everything and so, therefore, you believe they want to see... Well, I also think there's an element that Obama wants to see an uprising in Israel, a new intifada, and Israel having to cede the West Bank, so-called, to the Palestinians, the emergence of a Palestinian state, and him getting another Nobel Prize from the people who invented dynamite in Sweden.
More important than that, it would get him a feather in his cap with the left throughout the world. And this is why he is so cynical about Israel, our one true ally in that part of the world, and perhaps our best ally in the world, in spite of their left-wing faction as well.
Ramon, without going into details about your life, are you an author, a writer? What do you do?
I'm an investor, but more importantly, I'm a person that tries to be as unbiased as possible. This is a
well. You sound very clear thinking. I would buy your theory. Do you think as well that the people who invested in Obama in the beginning have profited from the unrest in Egypt?
Absolutely. You were talking about Soros. Soros is the ultimate insider information man. Now, he is a left-wing apparatchik, but that's only convenient for him. He has set up his leftist network and organization throughout the world. They repay him with insider information. For instance, Obama repaid him with the brokering of oil for Brazil in the Caribbean. He did this to repay him. That is how you repay Soros.
How could we find out if the Soros Fund made money off trading in the Egyptian pound over the last 2 weeks? Is there any way to find out right now?
Absolutely. He endears himself with any revolution that he helps conspire, and he intimidates any
It was Soros who just funded the purchase of the Huffington Post by AOL, is what I've been reading. Is that your reading as well?
AOL will crash and burn even faster. But
right, when they put a gold digger opportunist like the reinvented Arianna Huffington, first fake conservative, then fake progressive, now fake capitalist, they put her in charge of AOL News. Why? And so Soros can go out and hire 150 so-called investigative reporters who will report radical left-wing views of everything on Earth on the AOL website? It's amazing to me.
He's a crony capitalist who knows how to work the agenda on either side. It doesn't matter. Ultimately, Soros, if he could not manipulate the left as well as he wished to, he would resort to manipulating the right instead of just simply intimidating.
So he knows that the left are filled with kind of soft-brained individuals who are easily manipulated. Just feed them the rhetoric they want to hear.
Right. They don't.
As an investor, Ramon, is there any way to see if the Soros Fund has made any money on the Egyptian pound in the last 2 weeks?
There is, but the way to look at it is that the money will not come during the revolution. The money will come in about a year or two.
Why?
Because just like Obama repaid Soros, the new government has to be entrenched before they can manipulate the insider information that he so cravenly...
What if individuals who were behind overthrowing Mubarak for the last 2 years, we know they've been plotting it and planning it, bringing in activists to be educated, so-called, at the State Department on how to bring about a so-called Twitter revolution. So this has been carefully planned. It's been carefully financed, as we found out. Wouldn't these individuals have bought into the pound 3 months ago, the Egyptian pound?
Obama chastised one of his intelligence heads because he was saying that the Muslim Brotherhood might come out ahead. Now, he was quickly silenced because his fat pension is going to disappear if he doesn't.
No, but you're not answering my question. Wouldn't these individuals behind the Egyptian the overthrow of Mubarak, would they not have invested in the Egyptian pound in shorting it 2 months ago or a month ago?
Yes, they would have.
Okay, and, so how can we find out who benefited from the shorting of the Egyptian pound as near as 30 days ago? Is there any way for any listener to this show to get that information, because it's going to tell us more than we can speculate on. That will tell us more than anything. Who profited from shorting the Egyptian pound? I'd love the answer to that. How do we find the answer?
By talking to the investment bankers and hedge fund managers who handle these.
Yeah, good luck, but they're all protected by the Obama administration.
Private individuals that that know about this simply because they follow the fundamentals. But the big money isn't shorting the currency. The big money will be on for Soros in the insider information that it'll take in order for him to really make a big billion-dollar move. And that will come after.
Would you think it's fair to call Soros the Rothschild of our time, or is that too nice to him?
That's insulting, Mr. Rothschild.
Okay, I get it. I hear you.
Savage.
My friends, you just heard Dr. Savage in a riveting exchange that he had with one of his callers. And again, he is leading the curve. He is ahead of the pack. Soros has been the grand puppeteer behind Obama. He is the sugar daddy of the Democratic Party and the internationalist left. He is the one, along with Obama's State Department, that has sent in the activists into Egypt. They are the ones that encouraged this entire supposed revolution in the streets. Have you noticed? Everywhere you look around the world, it is Soros and his cronies who make out like bandits. In revolution after revolution after revolution, he comes in to buy up the minerals, the resources, to come in and short currencies and literally make out with hundreds of billions of dollars. Excuse me, millions of dollars. Billions of dollars. My friends, this is the man who is determined to destroy America and make his fortune upon the ashes of the United States. And when the Muslim Brotherhood comes into power in 6 months and they become firmly entrenched, who do you think is going to get a lot of these lucrative deals with the Muslim Brotherhood? You think it's going to be you? You think it's going to be me? No, 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 no. It's going to be Soros. It's going to be people like Soros. And what we are now seeing before our very eyes is what we saw 32 years ago in Iran. Just as the left cheered on the Ayatollahs and the Mullahs, they are now cheering on the Muslim Brotherhood. Why? Why is the left so determined to see radical Islam come to power? The Islamists are religious. They're pro-life. They don't like gays and lesbians. Believe me, they're not big fans of most of the things that the left goes for. Because they know one thing. The Muslim Brotherhood and the radical Islamists hate America. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And we have been seeing, under the Obama administration, the unholy alliance of the far left with radical Islam. And that is why, if you notice, 2 years ago, when the people of Iran rose up in Tehran, in protest after protest, hundreds of thousands, millions on the streets, much bigger than what you saw in Cairo. What you see in Cairo is nothing compared to the Green Revolution in Tehran. Where was the con man in chief? Did he speak about democracy? Did he speak about freedom's second wind? Did he speak about a rebirth of freedom and democracy? He was silent. Dead silent. In fact, he groveled to Iran's supreme leader. This was an internal matter for the Iranians to solve. But now, when you have the Muslim Brotherhood about to come to power, when you have an anti-American, anti-Israel, anti-Semitic force about to come to power and completely transform the region and turn it into Islamic radicalism, suddenly, no, this is now literally the beginning of a new birth of freedom in Egypt. Notice the hypocrisy. Notice the double standards. Let's go to Jimmy in Wisconsin on line 10. Jimmy, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, you were just talking about there being double standards. And I think you make some decent points as to what could be happening over there. But I guess I truly consider myself libertarian first, conservative second. And I do not think supporting a dictator, regardless of whether it being, the Republican side supporting it, or in this case, of course, the, frankly, socialist democratic side supporting it, is, or trying to tear it down, excuse me, it doesn't make any sense in my mind, because we sit here and we espouse values of freedom and self-determination and self-governance, but here we are trying to either support or tear down another, frankly, a dictator in Mubarak. Why can't we just leave it be? You know what I'm saying?
Jimmy, look, I understand. Look, essentially, it's the Ron Paul argument. Basically, if we just mind our own business, we have no right getting involved in other people's internal affairs. Here is the problem with that argument, Jimmy. I understand that. You want to protect the republic. I want to protect the republic. I don't want us to be an empire. However, there is the reality of evil in the world. And the choice that now confronts us in Egypt is either you back a pro-American ally, although a dictator, or you have the Muslim Brotherhood in power. Take your pick. There's no third option. And so the problem with that line of argument is this. We betrayed our pro-American ally in Iran. And now we have thousands of Americans dead in Afghanistan and Iraq because of it. We now have a dangerous regime on the verge of a nuclear bomb that is not only going to annihilate Israel, but most likely lead us to a major war in the Middle East, a nuclear war. If you look at the Muslim Brotherhood, they now want a global caliphate. They want to spread radical Islam, not just in Israel, not just across the Middle East. They want to spread it in Europe, and they want to spread it here. They are mortal enemies of the United States. Now, I believe in democracy. If these people were genuine Democrats, I would support them. But this is the key point. In Iran, yes, for a while there was democracy until the Islamists come to power. Then there's no democracy. So if you really believe in democracy, it's not a one-time election. You see, in September, there's going to be one election. Yes, one man, one vote. The Muslim Brotherhood will come to power. And then that's it. Kaput. It's over. They are not going to allow a second election. So if you don't play by the rules of democracy, if you don't truly respect pluralism, if you don't truly respect checks and balances, you have no business being in the political process. So if Obama is really sincere, here is what I would say. We support elections in Egypt. We are happy that there's freedom in Egypt. However, the Muslim Brotherhood cannot participate in any elections because they don't respect democracy. They want to overturn it the moment they come into power. So if you're not going to respect the rules of the game, you can't be a player. He will not say that. And that's, he gives the game away. He will not say it because deep down, he wants the Islamists to win. Jimmy, this is not a conspiracy theory. After this break, I'm going to show to you and everybody over the last 2 years how we have declined and Islam has risen. My friends, we have a president in the Oval Office who is aiding and abetting the enemies of America. If nobody else will say it, I will. He is a traitor. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
There are very few moments in our lives where we have the privilege to witness history taking place.
Yeah.
This is one of those moments.
Yeah.
This is one of those times.
Yep.
The people of Egypt have spoken.
Yeah.
Their voices have been heard, and yep, Egypt will never be the same.
That's right. That's right. That was the dear leader giving comments on Mubarak stepping down from power. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Have you noticed how happy Obama has been over the last week or so, seeing our U.S. ally literally being humiliated on the world stage? Notice the extra bounce in his step. He just can't wait for the Muslim Brotherhood to get into power. This is the Berlin Wall all over again coming down. He's now done it. What Reagan did in the 80s, he's now doing for Islamists all over the Middle East. He is now the great liberator. And so to me, what I find absolutely remarkable is, Mr. President, are you literally that stupid and obtuse, or are you that corrupt and ruthless? You can't see the train wreck that is coming? So now, under your watch, let's be very clear about this, Mr. President, so there's no ambiguity between you, me, and listeners on the Savage Nation. You, sir, have betrayed the United States and its allies ever since you came into the White House. You bow to the Emperor of Japan. You bow to the President of China. You bow to the King of Saudi Arabia. Under your watch, Iraq is becoming Islamist. Under your watch, we are losing the war to the Taliban and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. Under your watch, Hezbollah has seized power in Lebanon. Under your watch, the mullahs are now on the verge of acquiring the nuclear bomb. Have you seen a pattern here? Everywhere you look, American power is in retreat. Our allies are being betrayed, and our mortal enemies, the Islamic fascists in our midst, are now getting stronger and stronger. But hey, don't worry. Don't be concerned, because as Egypt is burning, as the Muslim Brotherhood is sharpening their knife to now invade Israel and slit the throats of the Jews, what does the dear leader do? Hey, Robert Gibbs, it's his last day today in the White House. The presidential spokesman, he gives him a tie. Egypt is burning. He's handing out ties. He's like a salesman, a cheap salesman. Here, here, for all your service, for lying to me, for lying on my behalf, for lying to the American people for me. Robert, let me give you a nice tie. And I'll call my friend George Soros on the phone and make sure you get a very nice cushy job. What do you want? Half a million? A million? What do you want to be my liar? My friends, this is the kind of joke that President Obama has reduced our country. In the greatest foreign policy disaster in recent memory, he's handing out ties to his presidential spokesman. Enough said. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Dr. Savage is off tonight. Michael, if you're listening, my friend, I just want to thank you once again for the incredible honor and opportunity of filling in for you, and especially tonight of all nights. History is being made. Mubarak has resigned. Egypt has fallen. It is an American ally no longer. And as you have stood at the front lines in opposing the forces of radical Islam, as you have faced death threat after death threat, as you have been banned in Britain as a sacrificial lamb to the Muslim lobby, I want to thank you, my friend, for your honor, bravery, and courage. And to all of you out there, members of the Savage Nation, I urge you, go to michaelsavage.com for the absolute latest on what is happening in Egypt and the reaction around the world and the utter betrayal and incompetence of the Obama administration. There is no way to sugarcoat this. We are now seeing a repeat of Iran. And just as the Shah fell 32 years ago, to this day, today, an American ally is gone. And on the streets today is a victorious army for the Muslim Brotherhood. Radical Islam is now on the march. And instead of realizing what a fatal blow, a body blow, this is to American national interests and to civilized decency everywhere. What does the dear leader in the White House say? That third-rate constitutional law professor, Dumbo, whose ears keep growing the more he lies. What does he have to say? Is he ashamed? Is he embarrassed? Is he humiliated? Is he apologetic? No, 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 no. This is the kind of spin. This is the kind of mendacity that would make Hitler and Goebbels literally turn in their graves. It would literally make them ashamed. Even they couldn't come up with spin like this. This is a victory for freedom. This is like the Berlin Wall coming down. This is literally like when Reagan freed Eastern Europe from Soviet barbarism and communist occupation. Here is Obama in his own words. And listen to this clip. Notice how he throws in not just the Berlin Wall, but every leftist icon you can imagine. Gandhi, Martin Luther King, you name it. Everybody is now on the left being represented in the Muslim Brotherhood. Hey, it's basically Gandhi with the crescent. Boys, roll clip six.
In Egypt, it was the moral force of nonviolence.
Yeah.
Not terrorism.
Yeah.
Not mindless killing.
Yeah.
But nonviolence.
Mm-hmm.
Moral force.
Mm-hmm.
That bent the arc of history toward justice once more.
Mm-hmm.
And while the sights and sounds that we heard were entirely Egyptian, we can't help but hear the echoes of history.
Mm-hmm.
Echoes from Germans tearing down a wall,
mm-hmm.
Indonesian students taking to the streets,
mm-hmm.
Gandhi leading mm-hmm. his people down the path of justice.
Mm-hmm.
As Martin Luther King said in celebrating the birth of a new nation in Ghana, while trying to perfect his own, there's something in the soul that cries out for freedom. Those were the cries that came from Tahrir Square.
The cries of freedom. It's like Martin Luther King now fighting the forces of segregation in the Deep South. It's Gandhi standing up to the British Empire, walking naked in the desert as he stood up against the British. Look at the images that he's trying to convey. And what I find remarkable is notice the alliance between the left and radical Islam. The Muslim Brotherhood as Gandhi, the Muslim Brotherhood as Martin Luther King, the Muslim Brotherhood as all of those brave freedom fighters in Berlin when they tore down the Berlin Wall. No, 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 Mr. President. These people are not nonviolent. All you have to do is look at the Muslim Brotherhood. Look at Hamas, which is the branch of the Muslim Brotherhood in Gaza. They kill their own people. They slit the throats of Palestinians who oppose them. They ethnically cleanse Christians. They launch bombs and rockets into Israeli towns and cities. They call for the eradication and destruction of the Jewish state. Now, call me crazy, Mr. President. That doesn't seem too nonviolent and pacifistic to me. I don't know the last time when I checked Martin Luther King and Gandhi, they weren't calling for whole peoples to be eradicated and slaughtered. I don't know. Maybe I'm misreading history here, Mr. President. Maybe I missed that one. But notice, when it comes to radical Muslims, they're Gandhi. They're Martin Luther King. They're John Lennon. They're freedom fighters. They're progressive liberals. Notice how in the minds of the left, if you are anti-Western, anti-American, then somehow you are progressive. Somehow you are on the right side of history. If you hate capitalism, if you hate America, if you hate Western civilization, then you are a friend of the left. Even though a Gandhi, a Martin Luther King, hell, an Obama, once the Muslim Brotherhood takes over, how long do you think a liberal, a pro-abortion, atheistic, pro-gay marriage, a pro-homosexual liberal like Obama, how long do you think he would last under the Muslim Brotherhood? What? That's how stupid he and George Soros are. And that's how corrupt they are. They are willing to sell their own country down the river to just make some money. It's all about the almighty greenback. Nothing is sacred to these people. Not God, not country, not even their own family. nothing is sacred to them except their lust for power. And so here you have the President of the United States now portraying the Muslim Brotherhood as freedom fighters? Tell me, is Ayatollah Khomeini and Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, are they freedom fighters? Tell me, when they have slaughtered millions of Iranians, when they slaughtered millions of Iraqis, when they sponsor terrorism all over the world, when they shoot and kill Americans in cold blood all across the Middle East, tell me, are they freedom fighters, dear leader? Is that your definition of a freedom fighter? And here, my friends, is what nobody in the mainstream media has the guts to tell you, but I will. You want to understand Obama? He has told us this himself. He is his father's son. His father, by his own admission, was a Muslim. His father, by his own admission, was an anti-colonial, anti-Western, radical leftist. Every anti-Western movement, every anti-American movement his father supported, whether it be atheistic and secular or radical and Islamist, it doesn't matter. If it's against America and against the West and against supposed Western imperialism, his father backed it. That's what's been driving Obama every step of the way. As he put it in his own autobiography, they are the dreams of my father. And as he told the New York Times, by his own admission, when he grew up, he read the Quran. When he grew up, he was taught Islam. And the most beautiful sound he has ever heard wasn't the playing of the national anthem. It wasn't even when his children were born, the crying in the waiting room, as it is for many people. It wasn't the church bells when he got married, the day he married Michelle. No, that's not what stirs his soul. What stirs his soul, as he put it, was the call of the azan, the call to Muslim prayer in the evening. That was the most beautiful sound he said he had ever heard. And so 2 years ago, he went to Cairo, right there on Tahrir Square, where now the supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood are jubilant with euphoria. And he said to the Muslim world, I apologize for America. I am here to offer you my hand of friendship. I am here to offer you a new pact. And that pact, my friends, was to betray our allies, betray our values, betray our interests. It was a wink and a nod to the entire radical Muslim world. I am one of you. As he put it, I was raised a Muslim. He found his inner Muslim. And now he is telling the Muslim world, America will not stand in your way. Egypt, let it fall. Israel, let it fall. Lebanon, let it fall. Afghanistan, let it fall. When it came to Iran, there's no getting around this. When it was secular, pro-Western, pro-American Democrats by the millions coming out on the streets of Tehran a year and a half ago in that fateful summer of 2009. I know because I encouraged that revolution. I dealt with many dissidents who were on the streets of Tehran. Many of them, by the way, died. Many of them I never spoke to again or emailed again or texted again. And they kept saying to me, what is Obama waiting for? We ask America, speak up on our behalf. Our struggle is your struggle. We want these brutal totalitarian mullahs out. They have enslaved us for 3 decades. He was quiet. He was silent. Not a peep. He didn't talk about history's arc. He didn't talk about Gandhi or Martin Luther King. No, then it was none of our business. But when it comes to supporting the Muslim Brotherhood, then suddenly it's Gandhi. It's Martin Luther King. It's the fall of the Berlin Wall all over again. Has Barack Hussein Obama betrayed the United States on behalf of radical Islam? Do you believe he openly welcomes the emergence of the Muslim Brotherhood? I want to hear from you. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. And my friends, you got to come back and listen to this clip. You want to see an outrageous clip, how they're trying to compare Obama to the Muslim Brotherhood, what the liberals are now saying? You will not believe this. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. You want to see how far the left is going to prop up Obama, to try to identify with the Muslim Brotherhood. Here, and I have to give special kudos to Michael Savage. I mean, Michael, I got to tell you, my friend, not only are you a brilliant radio personality, but man, you have nose for what's a good news story and what's a good news clip. Michael actually found this clip on his own. It's brilliant. Here is the new Democratic Network president, essentially the president of a liberal think tank, Simon Rosenberg, going on about how Obama led to Egypt getting freedom. It is Obama, the great liberator, Obama, whose own personal story has in fact inspired the Arab street to rise up in Egypt. Boys, roll clip 11.
What's important to the Americans to understand is how much of an inspiration Barack Obama's election was to people all around the world. The story of Barack, from an oppressed class here in the United States, to be able to rise to power through overcoming a tough regime here in the United States, has created an inspiring message at a time when young people are looking to be inspired around the world.
Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Not only is he inspiring people all over the world, the permanent change agent, the socialist revolutionary, but check this out. The story of Barack from an oppressed class in the United States to be able to rise to power through overcoming a tough regime here in the U.S. In other words, he overcame his own Hosni Mubarak. He's like a part of the downtrodden masses in Egypt, who are rising up against their oppressors. Barack the oppressed, who slays the capitalist oppressors. Now, I ask all of you, this myth of a fascist America, of an imperialist America, of a racist oppressive America, that is the myth that the radical left has been peddling for decades since the 1960s. That's the cultural milieu that Barack Hussein Obama comes from. And that's what Islamists have been peddling all over the world. It's George Soros's line. Off with authority. Down with Uncle Sam. Overthrow the American regime, whether it be in America or their supporters and friends all over the world. And what I find remarkable to this guy, Simon Rosenberg, are you kidding me? This man, Obama, this product of affirmative action, whose parents literally fed him with a silver spoon his entire life, who's been given all the privileges that most Americans could not dream of, an Ivy League education, grants and scholarships that most Americans could not even imagine having, who barely serving 2 years in the Senate was then skyrocketed to become the candidate for the Democratic Party and now the president of the United States. You call that oppressed? Mr. Rosenberg, I'm sorry, sir, but you are not only a liar, but you are a charlatan and a cheap propagandist for the left. This man is no oppressed man, and he didn't overcome no tough regime. There's no regime in America. This is the freest nation in the world, and we have nothing to do with those butchers on the streets of Cairo. And pretty soon, you and every liberal, give it 6 months, are going to see what a monster we have unleashed in the streets of Cairo. And the man who unleashed it was Barack Hussein Obama. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
We saw protesters chant, Selmia, Selmia. We are peaceful again and again. We saw people of faith praying together and chanting, Muslims, Christians, we are one. And though we know that the strains between faiths still divide too many in this world, and no single event will close that chasm immediately, these scenes remind us that we need not be defined by our differences. We can be defined by the common humanity that we share.
There was Barack Hussein Obama blatantly lying to the American people, basically saying they were singing Kumbaya in Cairo. Don't worry about the Muslim Brotherhood. Everything is fine. Muslim, Christian, secular, atheist, everybody loves Egypt. Everybody loves America. My friends, he is trying to sugarcoat a foreign policy disaster. This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Why are so many liberals enthusiastically cheering the arrival into power of a group of radical medieval Islamist butchers that are not only going to murder Egyptians and send them 1,000 years back into the Stone Age and hang women and hang homosexuals and kill dissidents, but in fact have already said they're going to break their treaty obligations with Israel and eventually launch a war? There's nothing peaceful about the Muslim Brotherhood. They're already telling everybody this 1979 treaty between Egypt and Israel is going to be torn up and thrown into the garbage can. We are going to attack Israel. War is coming. And yet, the liberals are cheering them on. The press is cheering them on. Dirty Harry Reid is cheering them on. Nancy the Piranha Pelosi is cheering them on. Everybody's cheering them on. Why does the left love radical Islam so much? 1-800-449-8255. I want to hear from you. Let's go to Robert in Houston on line 6. Robert, thanks for holding, and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, with the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood now, how long do we have to look forward to them launching rockets into Israel the way Hezbollah does in Lebanon? I mean, this whole administration's a joke to me. I cannot believe that they actually on these Islamists to take power in these countries to launch a war. If I'm Israel, I see the Sinai, the Litani River in Lebanon, and I take it now, and I take over the canal right now before the Muslim Brotherhood gets into power.
Robert, I want to thank you for that call. Let me tell you, because I'm a columnist at the Washington Times, I have a lot of sources, not only in Washington, but across the world. Israeli military and intelligence officials have told me they have been warning the Obama administration for months. The Muslim Brotherhood is powerful. Mubarak is teetering. If he goes, you will see an Islamic Egypt. And this is going to lead to another Middle East war. You are courting disaster. Don't, under any circumstances, support the Muslim Brotherhood. What does Obama do? He sends people from the State Department to meet with them in secret, to negotiate their transition and coming to power. In fact, as I speak to you now, they're already putting together a multi-million dollar aid package to give to the Muslim Brotherhood. He's already greasing their way to power with your taxpayer dollars. So it is clear to me, and now I am speaking to everybody in the country, but especially to the Jews of the United States. You have a traitor in the White House. He doesn't give a damn that Iran wants to annihilate you. He doesn't give a damn that the Muslim Brotherhood is coming to power. He is the most anti-Israel president we have ever seen. And now, the radical Islamists all across the Middle East have seen what a paper tiger America is. If they can pull the plug on our ally in Egypt, you don't think they can pull the plug on Israel? You don't think that's the message that's being registered in the Arab street? Hey, if America's strongest Arab ally, Mubarak, if he's not safe, if the Americans will turn on him, you don't think they'll turn on Israel? You don't think the Americans will turn on the Jews? You are now circa 1938. The winds of fascism, the winds of anti-Semitism, the winds of genocide are blowing all around you. And now the Islamists, led by the Muslim Brotherhood, are sharpening their knives. You are now surrounded. You have the Islamic butchers in Gaza, Hamas. You have Hezbollah, which has now seized power in Lebanon without a peep from the Obama administration. And now the Muslim Brotherhood. And in the back, the power that is pulling all the strings, the Hitler of our time, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, controls the Brotherhood, controls Hezbollah, controls Hamas. It was no accident that today, when he delivered his speech in Tehran, celebrating the 32nd anniversary of the Islamic Revolution, he held up a placard for the world to see, "Death to Israel." As he put it, the Zionist regime is coming to an end. A new Middle East is being born, a new world order. My friends, the global caliphate is now on the march. And what Obama has now allowed, let's not sugarcoat this, it took the Muslims hundreds of years after the Prophet Muhammad. They took over Saudi Arabia. They took over Egypt. They took over Syria. And eventually they poured into North Africa and invaded Spain. It took them hundreds of years to spread Islam by the sword. Now they are doing it within a couple of years. If I'm a radical Muslim, if I'm Osama bin Laden, if I'm some Muslim Brotherhood protester in the streets of Tahrir Square, here's what I tell everybody. We have the Holy Trinity. It is Allah, the Prophet Muhammad, and Barack Hussein Obama. In the name of Allah, Muhammad, and Barack Obama. Amen. This man is the greatest gift the radical Muslims have ever seen. And you know what's really scary? We still have two more years to go. Let's go to Ray in New York on line 8. Ray, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff. I disagree with you on this, your take on this, because I don't accept your premise that it's either an oppressive Mubarak dictatorship or the Muslim Brotherhood. I would like to think that eventually something much more moderate will emerge because of the young people in Egypt. And even if you're right, and the Muslim Brotherhood does come to power, I would much rather know who and where my enemies are, rather than have these two-faced Arab states pretending to be allies and monetarily supporting terrorism.
Ray, I have been arguing for years, column after column, Egypt is going to blow. And I said under the Bush administration, in the first term, if we do not support the secular opposition in Egypt, those that champion political reform, civil society, and are pro-Western, you will get the Muslim Brotherhood. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we should back dictators. But what I'm telling you is, now, in 2011, when you're now faced with the Muslim Brotherhood coming to power, and now I'm saying, well, believe me, I don't like Mubarak, but now it's two choices. You only got two. You got Mubarak and you have the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, you say you'd rather have a radical state. At least you know where you stand. We don't have that option. Iran is going to get the nuclear bomb. When they get it, they're going to use it. Ahmadinejad has said it. I will wipe Israel off the face of the earth. You think the Jews are going to stand by this time? The Jews are not going quietly into the ovens. This I know because I heard this straight from top military intelligence officials in Israel. They said, Jeff, I am telling you, I am the son of Holocaust survivors. I have made a vow. This time, we may go. This may be our last stand as a people, but I'm telling you, we're going down swinging. They have over 100 nuclear bombs in Israel. This man is going to launch the Middle East into a nuclear war. That's what we're facing. The Muslim Brotherhood is his spearhead, his Trojan horse to launch a war with Israel. Now, a two-faced, corrupt, autocrat, thug like Mubarak or the Muslim Brotherhood, to me, it's no contest. It's no contest. Ray, when these kinds of people come to power, millions of people get slaughtered. We saw it under Hitler. We saw it under Stalin. We've seen it with the totalitarian dictatorships all over the world. And now the left has maybe given us the one regime that is going to trigger not only a fatal war in the Middle East, but maybe the clash of civilizations that the Islamists have been yearning for, begging for and fighting for decades. And I ask you, do you honestly think Europe is ready? Do you honestly think we're ready? There's only one people and one nation that really understands the threat that we face, and those are the Jews. And they were the ones that warned us about Hitler, and we ignored them. And they warned us about Stalin, and we ignored them. And now they're warning us one last time, and we ignore them at our peril. Let's go to Ross in Alabama on line one. Ross, thanks for holding, and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you. I believe that what we're witnessing in the Middle East, beginning with Tunisia and Egypt, is this century's domino theory that was set forth with the communist nations in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And instead of it being a red curtain, an iron curtain, or a bamboo curtain, it's going to be a crescent curtain. And the sad part that saddens me, as a patriot and as an American, is that a Muslim disguised as an American helped usher this in.
Ross, listen, I want to thank you because I think you hit the nail on the head. This is so far the call of the night, Ross. You have somebody in the White House who's clearly pro-Muslim, who's clearly anti-American and anti-Western. He's also very anti-Jewish and anti-Israel. We know that. He's in bed with George Soros, who hates Israel and hates America. We know that. So this is what I find remarkable, is that as we now stand on the face of potentially a major holy war with Muslim civilization, do you honestly think that we're going to emerge victorious this time? Because I have news for everybody. The Green Crescent is infinitely more powerful than the red hammer and sickle. Say what you want about communism. It had a large military. It had a lot of fellow travelers. They're still in the White House today. They're still in capitals all over the world. But in the end, communism is against human nature. Because it repudiates and rejects God. It rejects the family. It rejects nations and countries. We are hardwired. We are created in the image and likeness of God. This is what our founding fathers understood. This is why America has been a beacon to people around the world, because you can worship here. You can raise a family here. You can breathe free here. This is what our human nature demands of us. We are created in the transcendental order of things, the transcendental nature of man. We believe in something greater than ourselves, a greater calling. Communism could never tap into that. That's why it was doomed to failure. But Islam is something different. Have you noticed? Communism could never get over 1 billion followers. Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. Soon it's going to eclipse Roman Catholicism. It will be the biggest. It is growing like wildfire. In America, in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, all over, it is growing and spreading. Why? Because it champions a belief in God. Communism could never offer that, only a false god. This is why this Green Crescent is to me a great threat. And unless we stand up and say no, there are aspects of Islam that frankly anti-Western, anti-individual, totalitarian and threatening. Unless we have an ideological war, we are going to lose because we are not willing to say things that need to be said. Look how we now cower. What is clearly a defeat for the West and a major defeat, maybe the greatest defeat in our lifetimes, is now being openly celebrated. We are lying to ourselves, bowing to the gods of political correctness. But my friends, today it will be Egypt. Tomorrow it will be France, and then England, and then Germany. And then I ask you, when Europe falls, where do we run? Nowhere. Wake up, America, before it's too late. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on a Savage Nation.
Savage.
This This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Let's go to Mike in Washington, D.C. on line two. Mike, thanks for holding and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good evening, Jeff. I just want to say a few things, and I'll take your excellent reply on the air. America does not realize this is the day the music died again. This happened back in the 70s. We had a weak president. We had the first Obama, which was named Carter. But, Jeff, in those days, you were a young man. I was a young man. Those days, we had an economy. We had allies. We had a Cold War. We had a whole different situation. What has taken place today in the history of America, no one would have ever thought. No ally will be our ally, Jeff. Rumors are buzzing on the web since yesterday that King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia has died in Morocco. Things are so whacked out of hand, and nobody realizes the puppets, the puppeteers that is going on. These kids have no idea what they're in store for, Jeff. I saw it when the Shah fell, and oh my God, I don't even want to think about what's coming on the horizon, Jeff. Between the oil and everything else, Soros, the whole nine yards. Jeff, we are in.
Mike, listen, you nailed it. And I want to thank you for that call, my friend. Those young people that are now crying and hugging each other and in utter jubilation, that's exactly what happened 32 years ago in Iran. All of those students who thought they were going to have a better future, money in their pocket, jobs, elections, press freedoms, religious freedoms. Oh, boy, were they in for a rude awakening six months later. That's exactly what's going to happen again. They are going to rue the day that they were jumping up and down in the streets of Tahrir. And you nailed it, Mike. I ask you, after we just betrayed Mubarak, what sensible American ally is going to count on us? And I don't just mean in the Middle East. I'm talking Taiwan. I'm talking South Korea. I'm talking Japan. You name our allies. If I'm an Israeli now, if I'm a Jew in Tel Aviv, I'm going to say, hey, Moshe, Mike, look what the Americans just did to Mubarak. You don't think they're going to pull the plug on us? We have lost all credibility in the eyes of the world. And that's what Obama has been doing. He has been rewarding our enemies and punishing our friends. Look at everything he's done. Putin, he's given him Eastern Europe. China, he's given them a free hand in Asia. The radical Islamists, they now have free hand all over the Arab and Middle East. My friends, we are kowtowing to our enemies. We are now waving the white flag of surrender. And we can stand there and kid ourselves all we want. We can have MS left BC, softball on softball. I just saw Matthews during the break going on how this is a great victory for democracy, how Obama is now loved in Egypt, loved in the Arab street, loved in the Middle East. He's loved by nobody. I know for a fact because Arabs have told me, people on the street have told me, we don't respect him. He came to Cairo 2 years ago thinking he was going to ingratiate himself with us. You know what we thought? What kind of a leader apologizes for his own country on foreign soil? Who speaks ill of his own kind on foreign soil? He thinks that plays well in the salons of Manhattan and Georgetown, but on the Arab street, he's vilified. He's despised. He's disrespected. What you are now seeing is the beginning of a Muslim rampaging army. And this army is going to grow and spread from Egypt to Israel to Europe and eventually here to America. My friends, Obama is not the great liberator. He is the great appeaser. This is Jeff Kuhner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, I just want to thank you once again, my good friend, for giving me the incredible, incredible honor and opportunity of filling in for you tonight, and especially tonight of all nights, with the historic developments taking place in Egypt. Michael, you have been a hero of mine for many years. I honor your courage, your bravery, your intelligence, but also your generosity. And I really want to thank you, Michael. You have an incredible show and an incredible audience. And to all of you out there, please go to michaelsavage.com for the absolute latest, especially on the developments in Egypt. And there is one story in particular I want to touch on, because it shows to you and it shows to the world the insanity, the political correctness, and the utter corruption at the heart of the Obama administration in our struggle against radical Islam. Here is the title of the story. Lunatic inside Obama government says Muslim Brotherhood now peaceful. Go and read that story. You will see how craven and cowardly and how mendacious, what a bunch of liars, this entire administration consists of. The Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, Claphead, recently went in front of a congressional hearing. And when he was asked about the developments in Egypt, now remember, this is not just some rinky-dink title, Director of National Intelligence. This is the man who heads our domestic intelligence agency. He is the number one intelligence person in the United States. If anybody is supposed to know what is happening around the world, and especially what's happening in Egypt, and who the Muslim Brotherhood is, and what's the nature of the Muslim Brotherhood, it should be Claphead. It should be this guy, Clapper. Listen to what he says when he is asked about the Muslim Brotherhood. It is absolutely astounding and chilling, the level of ignorance and the levels to which he is willing to lie to protect this administration and obstruct and ignore reality. Boys, roll clip 19.
The term Muslim Brotherhood is an umbrella term for a variety of movements. In the case of Egypt, a very heterogeneous group, largely secular, which has eschewed violence and has decried al-Qaeda as a perversion of Islam. They have pursued social ends, betterment of the political order in Egypt. In other countries, there are also chapters or franchises of the Muslim Brotherhood. But there is no overarching agenda, and particularly in pursuit of violence, at least internationally.
No. You know, it's a European Socialist Party. It's the Democratic Party. That's all it is. They just like to cover themselves head to toe. That's all. That's all this is. It's Nancy Pelosi in a burqa. That's all. I'm giving you now the Muslim Brotherhood, according to this guy, James Clapper. That's what he's peddling on Capitol Hill. It's Nancy Pelosi in a burqa. That's all. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Nonviolent, socialist, social betterment, help the poor. It's heterogeneous. Hey, many, many elements in this Muslim Brotherhood. You see, you have the radical fanatics, you have the radical fanatics, and you just have the fanatics. Some people say you should cut off women's fingers for wearing nail polish. Other people say you should flog them. Other people say you should jail them. It's a very heterogeneous group here we're dealing with. You have to understand that. My friends, this is so disconnected from reality that either this man is a lunatic and a madman, either literally he's insane, or he is a pathological, compulsive liar. The Muslim Brotherhood goes back to 1928. It is the first great Islamist movement of the 20th century. From its inception, it has called for the creation of a theocracy and a global caliphate, a world Muslim empire. It wants to eradicate the Jews and destroy America and the West. That has been its driving agenda since it was formed in 1928. What is this guy talking about? They're nonviolent. They support Hamas. They support al-Qaeda. They support Hezbollah. They are literally being funded and supported and organized by Iran. By their own admission, their leader has come out and said, We are going to tear up the treaty with Israel and launch a war against the Jewish state. What is this guy talking about? It's like saying Hitler was a pacifist. And this is exactly what the left did in the 1930s. In the 1930s, everybody forgets this. Hitler, great statesman. No, he's just a German nationalist. Hitler wants peace. He's begging for peace. He craves peace. You don't know how much he wants peace. He wants peace more than Gandhi. No, no, no. The real troublemaker wasn't Hitler. It's Gandhi. That's what the left was saying. Even Churchill, in the early years of the Hitler regime, of the Nazi regime, 33, 34, he changed after 36. But from 33 to 36, even the great anti-fascist Churchill said, no, Hitler's doing great things for his people. Hitler's a great progressive, a modernizer. He just wants to unite all Germans in one state. That's all. That's it. Nothing more. A peaceful guy, a loving guy, a teddy bear with a mustache. That's all. That's all Hitler was. The liberals lied about Hitler. They lied about Stalin. And now they are lying about the Islamist butchers in our midst. And my friends, here is what many people don't want to tell you, and especially in the media. I am an historian. I am trained as an historian. In fact, I taught at McGill University. It's why my column in the Washington Times is read by most people in Washington and by conservatives across America and the world, because I understand history, so I understand the present. Islam grew by the sword, idiotically. In fact, the majority of Muslims are peaceful, obviously. But Islam in its inception was not a religion of peace. Muhammad waged war upon his enemies. Christians were ethnically and religiously cleansed and murdered. That is a fact. Muhammad had multiple wives. His youngest was 12 years old. That's why this custom is adhered to across the Middle East. Polygamy, Islamic culture. For centuries, they imposed the Quran and Muslim rule through the sword. And Islam spread across the Middle East and eventually into North Africa. And it annihilated all non-Muslims or heretics in their way. Muslims that did not toe the party line. Christians, Jews, Orthodox Christians, you name it, they massacred them. And then, after they conquered the Middle East and North Africa, for centuries, they then invaded the cradle of Western civilization and Western Christendom itself, Europe. They attacked Portugal, Spain, France, Italy, the Balkans. At one point, Islamic armies were so powerful, they reached the very gates of Vienna. If Vienna fell, which was the cradle of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, then all of the West would fall because Rome would fall. If Rome fell, the seat of the Roman Catholic Church, all of Europe would fall. This is the history of Islam. It has been at war with the West from its inception. It is a universal religion. It believes that it and only it has the truth, that Muhammad spoke to Allah, that Jesus got it wrong, Abraham got it wrong, Moses got it wrong, Buddha got it wrong. They've all gotten it wrong. Only Muhammad has the truth. And they want to spread this truth all over the world. They don't understand the concept of pluralism, of genuine religious tolerance. That's why if you notice, in every Muslim majority nation, the minority is oppressed. You don't have genuine freedom of religion in any Muslim majority nation in the world. Name me one, not two, not three, one. This is what nobody wants to recognize and confront. Islam needs to be reformed. It needs a genuine reformation. If it does not be, if it is not reformed, we are literally bound to perpetual war. And so what happened is that for centuries, this is not even me explaining, this is Bernard Lewis, the preeminent Arab Muslim scholar in the world, in the English-speaking world, the most brilliant man on Islam that ever existed in the 20th century. He's written multiple books. The Crusades, unlike the propaganda in the Middle East, were not a form of Western imperialism or Western aggression. They were a defensive, late reaction by Western Christendom against Muslim invasion. And even then, all the West was able to do was to repel Muslim armies out of Europe. France was retaken. Italy was retaken. Spain was retaken. But Jerusalem, but North Africa, Bethlehem, Nazareth, the very cradle and seat of Christendom, gone forever. This is why the Muslim Arab world has been determined to destroy the state of Israel, because now Jerusalem falls under a Western power, a non-Muslim power. Why do you think all of the Arab countries want to wipe Israel off the map? Why? Because they just don't like Jews? It's deeper than that. It's much more profound than that. It's because they do not want the birthplace of Christ. They do not want the seminal seat of Western civilization to be in non-Muslim hands. It is a religious, ideological, cultural war. Israel is the outpost of the West in the Middle East. That's why it must be annihilated. And that's why you want to understand Osama bin Laden. You want to understand Al-Qaeda. You want to understand the Muslim Brotherhood. You want to understand Ahmadinejad. What do they all say? We are finishing the war of the Crusades. We don't even know the Crusades. We don't even study the Crusades. For us, that's 1,000 years ago. For the Arabs and for the Muslims, that's yesterday. That's unfinished business. So what they have been doing is they are now repeating to them the final battle of the Crusades. This is why after Egypt, it will be Israel. After Israel, it will be Europe. And after Europe, it will be America. My friends, we can either bury our heads in the sand and pretend as this threat doesn't exist, or we can stand up and fight before it is too late. I prefer to fight. What's your choice? This is Jeff Kuhner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. I want to hear from you. Let's go to Pat in New York on line 3. Pat, thanks for patiently holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
I thank you very much, Jeff. I watched the president speak today. He said to the people of Egypt, "We hear you, and the people of Egypt have spoken." My problem is, when the American people were speaking, he didn't hear them at all. He didn't hear them with respect to health care. He didn't hear them with respect to cap and trade. And then I heard something else in his speech that really bothered me. In terms of democratic revolutions, he happened to mention the country of Indonesia, and here's where I have a problem. I read his book, Audacity of Hope, and with respect to Indonesia, where he spent the ages of roughly 6 to 11 before coming back to the U.S., he said in his own words that the two leaders, which were dictators, which was, I believe, Sukarno and Suharto, that every atrocity, every murder, every rape, every beating, every jailing was done with the wink and the nod of the United States. That bothers me. That's a man with 40 years of memories who, in my opinion, is saying it's payback time.
Pat, you hit the nail right on the head, and I want to thank you for that call. He has said so in private, and he says it in his book. He is here to fulfill the mission of his father. His father fought colonial, what he calls colonial aggression, and European and Western imperialism. Who is the great imperial power in the eyes of the radical left? It used to be Britain. It's now America. In fact, there are only two countries that really represent imperialism in the eyes of the left, America and Israel. Look at everything that Obama has done. It has been to contain and eventually undermine Israel, and it has been to weaken and degrade and ultimately annihilate America. That's his foreign policy. So we know when he was in Indonesia that he went he attended madrasas. We know that. We know that he went regularly to mosques to pray. We know he learned the Quran. We know, in fact, that he can recite Muslim prayer in Arabic fluently and perfectly. Notice, whenever there is a development around the world that goes against the United States, that favors radical Islam, he supports it. Not a peep against Hezbollah, not a peep against Iran, and not a peep against the Muslim Brotherhood. My friends, we have a Manchurian candidate in the White House. He is a traitor, and he is looking to destroy us from within. This is Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to The Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from The Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage. If you want to read my column every Friday in The Washington Times, just go to WashingtonTimes.com, punch in my last name, K-U-H, N as in Nancy, E-R, or just go to opinion or commentary and you can see it, Cooner, and you can read away. In fact, today's column is on the hypocrisy of Michael Moore, another radical leftist like Obama, who seems to always cheer on whenever the radical Islamists come to power. Let's go to Chris in Pittsburgh on line 10. Chris, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Jeff. Just wanted to comment, you know, this country has no sense of history anymore, and the radical fundamentalist, it is the Crusades to them, and in their minds right now, and actually I do believe they're winning. I think we're going to see Northern Africa go down to them. I think there's a real threat with their presence in Europe, that Europe's going to be taken down by them. And right now, we don't have the leadership. We have the presidential imposter, who I believe is one of them in disguise. And we have no testicular fortitude in this country to stand up and say that the only way you do.
Chris, I want to thank you for that call. If Adolf Hitler was born 60 years later, he would have conquered Europe and the West. Hitler's great mistake for him, for his evil, sick agenda, was he was born too early. And this is the sad fact that I've concluded. We are clearly a civilization in decline. There's no getting around that. Go to michaelsavage.com, because even the Europeans are now waking up to the fact they have lost their countries and they have lost their culture and their civilization. You have a story on michaelsavage.com. France, liberal, secular, degenerate, socialistic France. The president of France, Nicolas Sarkozy, has now come out and said multiculturalism has failed. Recently, last October, Angela Merkel, the chancellor of Germany, came out and said multiculturalism has failed. 2 weeks ago, or maybe even a week ago, David Cameron, the Prime Minister of Britain, has come out and said multiculturalism has failed. If you read the story, what is it that Sarkozy is saying? We have bent over backwards to accommodate the Muslim immigrants in our midst, and we have been obsessed with their identity, with their religious needs and freedoms. But no one ever thinks about the nation of France, about our cultural identity, borders, language, and culture, as Michael Savage would put it, our national community. And instead, we have been changing to accommodate them. They have not been changing to accommodate us. And so what is it now that we're seeing in France, according to Sarkozy? We are now seeing Muslim ghettos sprout all over Paris and in major cities across France. They no longer go to the same schools. They no longer eat the same diet. They no longer even speak the French language. They no longer worship the same religion. They are seceding from France. You now have an intifada emerging in France. Now think of this, because we're talking about the Crusades. The French were not always cowards. The French were not always cheese-eating surrender monkeys. They weren't. As we say in the newsroom, what's a French salute? And you put two hands up in the air. That's the French in the 20th century. But 500, 600, 700, 800 years ago, they were the knights of Western Christendom. They crushed the radical Islamic armies of the time. They were known for their gallantry, honor, and chivalry. France put the fear of God into the Muslim world, or rather the fear of Allah into the Muslim world. It was France that created Louis XIV and Napoleon. This was once one of the greatest civilizations and cultures in the world. In fact, Thomas Jefferson so admired the French. He said, every educated man in America holds allegiance to two countries, America, his own, and France. That's how enlightened the French are. Look how far they have fallen. And as Sarkozy says, there are now streets in Paris. I know, I've seen it. Where literally the mosques are so full and overcrowding. You have hundreds of them blocking the streets in Paris, praying on the streets. The traffic can't get by. They are being overrun by radical Muslim immigrants. And now they know it. Let me tell all of you a story. It changed my life and maybe it will change yours. About 6 years ago, my wife was a professor then at Howard University. It's an historically black college here in Washington, D.C. My wife is white. She's not black, but she taught European history. And we took a group of African-American students to see France, its great architecture, its museums, its literature, its history, to learn about French culture and European high culture. And we took them on a 10-day trip. And while we were in France, we had heard about the growing Muslim population. So to learn about the issue of French Muslims in French society, we went to La Grande Mosque de Paris, the Great Mosque of Paris. And as my wife and I and the students walked, as we approached the mosque, literally we felt like we were in the Middle East. Women were covered from head to toe. Men all wore big beards and walked around barefooted in sandals. There was not one person, because I speak French and my wife speaks French, who spoke French. It was all Middle Eastern languages. And we walked into this great mosque, and it towers over any other cathedral. It overshadows everything. And the moment we walked in, we were met by the imam. And I could tell you right now and then, this guy was acting as a front for radical Islam. And he walked up and he said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Sir, with all due respect, I am from Washington. I'm a journalist at the Washington Times, a columnist and a journalist. My wife is a professor in Washington, D.C. These are students from Howard University. We want to learn about French Muslim culture and about the predicament of Islam in France." And he said to me, "Get your wife and get your students out of here. I don't talk to women and I don't talk to infidels. But you, I want to speak to you. You say you work for the Washington Times?" I said, "That's right." "Come downstairs. I want to show you something." Okay. My wife goes outside. The students go outside. My wife is nervous. I'm like, "I don't know what's going on here." He takes me downstairs. I come in. It's a bathhouse. I see about 20, 25 young Muslim men, 20, 21, 22. All of them washing their feet because they have to pray barefooted and their feet must be clean. Literally, I felt the knives and darts coming from their eyes. I have never seen such hatred in my life. And believe me, I've been to war zones. I've been to the Balkans. Right away, they knew I was an American and I could feel their hatred. They would slit my throat in a second. And he looked at me and he said, so you're in Washington. He said, you must know George Bush. I said, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't know George Bush. I said, I cover George Bush. I write about George Bush. I don't know George Bush. It's not like he and I play golf together. He said, no, 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 you're lying to me. You know George Bush. You're a man of the media. He goes, I want to tell you something because I want you to deliver a message to George Bush and all of your American friends in Washington. We will bury you. Look around here. Look around you. These are my holy warriors. Their minds are clean. Their souls are clean. Their feet are clean. They are ready to die for Allah. Look at you, he said to me. Look at you, fellow Americans. Your drugs, your pornography, your homosexuality, your gay marriage, your abortion. I look at you and I see a decadent, degenerate culture. Your days are numbered. And I'm telling you, we are waging a jihad against you and against the West. He goes, you think we respect France? What is French? To drink wine? To eat pork? I spit on France. And then he said this to me, and I'll never forget this. He said, you tell George Bush, we will turn Iraq into a massive American graveyard. We will kill every one of you. And then we will drive you out of Afghanistan as we drove the Soviet Red Army. But when we drive you out of Afghanistan, don't think you'll find peace behind your shores, behind your walls in America, because we will come for you there. And when we come for you, you must either convert and submit or die. You tell that to George Bush, because we have Allah on our side. And Allah and the Prophet Muhammad, praise be upon him, will emerge victorious. Now get out. What I learned at that moment, and I'll never forget this, it is not our foreign policy that they hate us. It is not our support of Israel that they hate us. They hate us for who we are. They hate us for our decadent culture. They hate us because they see us as primitive, barbarian infidels. There is no peace with radical Islam. There can never be peace with radical Islam. You can appease them. You can sell away Israel. You can sell away Egypt. You can sell away all of Europe. You can give them everything. They will still come for us. That is why I am warning you, as Churchill warned Europe and the West, we must fight this enemy with every breath in our being. Only one of us can stand tall. Either radical Islam emerges victorious or the West emerges victorious. It's really that simple. And now the choice is up to you. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Do I have a special treat for you? Michael Savage is on the phone. Let us go to Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Jeff, you've been doing a great job. I was in a dental chair today under anesthesia. You know, I had a tooth implant, and then I came out and blah, blah, blah. And I've heard you. Right now, I'm just drinking a glass of wine because the pain's coming back. But, Jeff, I've been hearing you. I've never seen a propaganda play on this level of this magnitude in my entire life. And I never thought it would occur in the United States of America. I knew the vermin in the media were useful tools of the socialist agenda or outright players in the agenda. But when I started to see the Berlin Wall analogy, and it's all over AOL now and Yahoo, where's the wall, Jeff? Have you seen a wall in Egypt that I missed? Jeff, has anyone seen a wall in Egypt that's going to unify Egypt here? Just shows you the sad level of the people in the media. The Berlin Wall? Which wall came down, Jeff?
Michael, why do you think they're doing this?
It's the Soros Obama socialist New World Order agenda. Soros, Obama New World Order agenda. This is a socialist revolution we're witnessing. This has nothing to do with the overthrow of Mubarak per se. Mubarak was a dictator, there's no question about it. But you remember the phrase from your college degree, your college years, après moi, le déluge?
Mm-hmm.
What happens after the king is overthrown?
Mm-hmm.
Long live the king.
Mm-hmm.
Only who is the new king? Is he more benign or is he more dangerous? Now, we're on this side which says that the new king will be the Muslim Brotherhood or a factotum thereof. Remember, Jeff, you've been pointing it out all day. Not overnight did after the Shah fell, did the radical Islamists take power. It took a year. And by that time, the vermin in the American media who helped topple the Shah were on to their next venture. They're at it again, Jeff. This is a long march. It began after World War II, when we accepted a flood of refugees from Europe who came here running from Hitler, and they've infected the entire country. Don't get me started, Jeff, because I will get explosive right now. Anesthesia, no anesthesia. And Jeff, I mean, this is the long march. They marched into the institutions. They marched into the media. They marched into the government. And now they found their stooge, Obama, their front man. And here
Michael,
we are. What's
Michael,
next, Jeff?
We know that Obama is a traitor. We know that. We know he's in bed with
Soros. I don't know whether he's a useful tool, a naive Fabian socialist. I'm not going to go so far as the total, you know, he's the 11th imam. I'm not going to go there, Jeff. But, Jeff, last night I was watching military history, and I saw how the Israelis valiantly fought against the Syrians on the Golan Heights in the 73 war, how many men they both lost, how brave the Syrians were, but how much better the Israelis were at tank warfare. And they won almost by the grace of God, or there'd be no Israel today. I woke up this morning and I said, for what? For what did these heroic Jews hold on to their land? Because you know what's coming, Jeff, don't you?
Well, Michael, that was my question. I understand Obama being a traitor, but what? How do you explain Israel? How do you explain the Jews of Israel? Why aren't they stepping in?
Because they have no choice here. They're in a very difficult situation. They cannot come out on the side of a dictator. They can't do that. They can't come out and say, Mubarak was our best friend. Oh, boy, what are we going to do now? So they have to make the best of a bad situation and pretend that they are hopeful that the new government in Egypt is going to be their friend. But it was they who fought the Egyptian military. Remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Mubarak who's kept the Egyptian military away from declaring new war against Israel. So the radicalization of Egypt is already happening. The second Mubarak is gone, how many of the military do you think are sympathizers of the more radical Muslim Brotherhood mentality? Can we guess the percentage? It would be pretty pretty interesting. I don't know the percentage. Do you?
Mm-hmm. I can tell you what my Israeli sources are telling me. They believe there's widespread support. That's why they didn't want to turn on the demonstrators. That's why they forced Mubarak out.
Okay, so there you go. So we're witnessing a worldwide Islamo-fascist socialist revolution. You know that there's a linkage between the radical left, the worldwide left, and the Islamists. You would think they'd be natural enemies, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
But it's the enemy of my enemy, right? The enemy. They're allying. They're in an alliance right now, and very soon they will turn on each other. But let's cut to the chase here, Jeff. The American media caused this. That vermin on CNN should be put into jail for what he did, who made the revolution about himself. And the others, Fox was no better, Jeff. Fox was using the very same party line as CNN. The Berlin Wall, Jeff. I mean, you would expect this from Shepard Smith, who has about the same mentality and morality as Silverhair on CNN. He's a twin brother, but you'd expect more from a man who went to Harvard like O'Reilly, wouldn't you?
Now, Michael, do you think Fox, are they just bowing to political correctness? Is that what you think is happening here?
The phone, I guess the anesthesia. Jeff, I would think the answer is a little more pecuniary. 19% of News Corporation, which owns Fox News, is owned by an Arab prince, correct?
Okay.
Saudi prince. Oh, I'd like to clear up one misconception, because yesterday I said the Saudis didn't want Mubarak to fall, and then I said that 19% of Fox is owned by a Saudi prince, and someone said, isn't that a conflict, what you just said? It doesn't make sense. I said, that's because there's no monolithic Saudi monarchy. In other words, there's a Saudi nation, but they may have their divisions just as we in America have ours.
Michael, as usual, such a treat. Please take care of yourself. America needs you. We need you. God bless you, my friend. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage.